desire your prayer for him and also your careful attention. Brother Bob.
Hello. Yeah, it's blinking. It's dying. Pause. It's like most Christmas gifts. Battery's not included. Okay, my green light is no longer blinking. Good morning, Merry Christmas, all over again. It's so good to see you and that you made the effort to be here. As I was thinking about Christmas, it's very not that often we have Christmas on Sunday, and so it's can make some logistical challenges those kinds of things, but it truly is an opportunity, I think, as well to truly worship God on the day that we set aside to celebrate the birth of His Son. And I know, looking now at you, everyone here knows it's not about the presents and all the decoration. Yes, Travis, I know you're shocked. It's not about that, and so it wouldn't be anything shocking to you to get the whole Christmas message, and so it makes it a little challenging sometimes up here to make it so that your time here is beneficial, that you're edified for being here. So I have some thoughts. I have a couple of thoughts. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but just if you can take these couple little simple things and take them into your heart and hold on to them, that's my hope. So I do have some thoughts, and I'll be reading a little bit different today. If you're following along, I'll be reading out of the book of Sus, chapter 1. And I'll start with verse 1. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight, but I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. You know, it's hard to comprehend that somebody doesn't like Christmas, hates Christmas. And we all know the story of the Grinch, I think. Nobody likes to think of themselves as the Grinch most of the time. But, I want to look at some parallels from this story, or at least this part of the story, to what we can actually find in the Scripture. So, he was not the first Grinch, or the first one to hate Christmas. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Hope you bear with me. I'm going to start with verse 1. So, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was not crazy about Christmas. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So, Herod hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. I think that we might have some idea of the reason, though. Herod was not a good guy. Herod the Great is who we're talking about. He was the king of Judah at this time. He was a guy who was ruthless and cruel. He had his own wife killed and three of his sons killed because he perceived them as a threat to his kingdom. That's pretty hardcore to be able to do that to your own kids, your own wife. But that's the way, that was Herod. That was his cruelness. It was all about the power. And so, you know, he saw even his family as a threat to the throne. And so he hears about this king that's being born. And it's a threat to him. And so what does he do? He has a plot. I'm going to continue on. It says, "When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." What was Herod's plan? As soon as they came back, what was he going to do? He had no problem killing his own kids. Killing some other kid, that was no big deal. He was going to stop Christmas from coming. But it didn't. It came. But Herod didn't give up. If you go on down to verse 16, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." So he had been asking those questions for a reason. And so he couldn't figure out which kid it was, so I'm just going to kill them all. Herod was doing everything he could to stop Christmas from coming. Let me back up a little bit in verse 13. It says how the Lord had prepared for this. He knew it was coming. It says, "And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" You know, it was another example of where the Lord, you know, it was prophesied, and so the Lord had already known it was going to happen. Herod was trying to stop Christmas, but it came just the same. Herod saw this little Christ child as a threat because he didn't want Jesus to be king. He didn't want Jesus to be king because he was king. It can't be two kings. And so he recognized, hey, if I don't take care of this, it's gonna affect me. But he was unsuccessful. But it makes me wonder about us sometimes. We don't like to be thought of as Grinches. But I want you to carefully consider that, is Jesus our King? Or is he someone that we love and we adore and we want, but we're just not quite willing to make him our King? Because if Jesus is our King, all of our loyalty is to him. Comes before anything else. Comes before our family, our friends. He is first. And the hardest part about it is if he's truly our King, that means we have to submit to his authority. That's hard. Because why? Because we want to be King. We want to decide what we want to do. We want to do things our way, and he wants us to do things his way. If Jesus is my King, that means I can't be. I can't be in charge. And so that's something I want you to consider as we talk, and I'm going to talk about some other stuff as well, but just that concept of making that Jesus came, and we're celebrating that today. He came as a King. And we have to put him as a King in our heart to make him first. Otherwise, we're acting like a Grinch and not wanting to give him what he came to rule. I want to back up a little bit here in Matthew, because there's something else I want to draw on. And back in the first chapter, it says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So you think about it. We have this virgin, this young woman, unmarried, but the Holy Ghost touches her and places something inside her that grows and becomes this baby that we celebrate today. And I want to focus on this idea of his name. He shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew here is quoting from Isaiah. I want to back up to Isaiah because to see where he's quoting this from. And this is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah. And this is a time, Assyria is the main power, and Ahaz is the king of Judah at the time. And I don't want to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read start at verse 10. It says, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so, you know, more of the background is that Ahaz was the king, and this is when there was northern and southern kingdoms, and he was the king of the southern kingdom. And Assyria was the superpower of the world at the time. And Syria and the northern kingdom were getting together to go, you know, to fight. They were going to try and fight against Assyria. And they wanted the southern kingdom to join them. And Ahaz is kind of going, I don't think I want to do that. And so the northern kingdom and Syria want to come down to Judah to kick out Ahaz and put a different king in charge so that he will be with them when they go fight to Assyria. But instead, Ahaz makes a deal with Assyria instead of relying upon God. Instead of uniting with Syria and the northern kingdom. Not that he should have done that either. Because he was supposed to rely upon God. So he rejected the counsel that the Lord gave through Isaiah. It didn't work out well for him. In the long run, the Assyrians came and abused his kingdom, if you will. But in the midst of those things is when the Lord, through Isaiah, gives this promise. Emmanuel, God with us. What would that mean to Isaiah? He's looking at this king, he's supposed to be in charge, and he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Ahab refused to trust in God. But you know what? God did not withdraw his promise because of the king's unfaithfulness. He continued that promise to the people. Emmanuel, God with us. He's telling them that there's hope. There's divine hope that he is with them. No matter what their leaders do, that there was people in that kingdom that could have hope because they knew that God was with them. That there was a promise that someday that the Lord would be with them. God's faithfulness in the midst of men's failure. That's what that hope gave. You know, I think about us today. You know, we look about some of our leaders and we kind of wonder about them and we're worried about them. And we look around us in the world. But that same promise is there for us. God with us. And I want us to remember, it's not that like God is just kind of looking after us and patting you on the back and saying, okay, go ahead and go. He's with us. His very presence. He came in the form of a baby to be with us. I want to turn back over into Mosiah chapter 1 a little bit. It's on page 216, and I'll start with verse 97. It says, "For behold, the time cometh and is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations, and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. You know, he's talking about God dwelling on earth as in the form of flesh to be with us. Over in Alma, in the fifth chapter, it also talks about these events. Starting with verse 19, and this is on page 323. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. He will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon them their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, according to the flesh, that he may know, according to the flesh, how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things, nevertheless the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might not blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now, behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that you must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if you are not born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized into repentance, that you may be washed from your sins, that you may have faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. This concept that we're celebrating today is that the one who created the world, you know, we think about God being a spirit, as invisible. He became something visible. He became flesh and blood. And he came for a purpose, so that he would know how to care for us, to know how to succor our needs. He came as a baby to grow and become a man that could be seen and touched. So he would know exactly what it feels like to be a human. Fully human. But part, I want to go back to Emmanuel, God with us. I want to turn back in the Bible into John in the 14th chapter. Part of that abiding with us, what does that mean? John chapter 14, I'm going to start with verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not into the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which thou you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Therefore these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. God with us. That Holy Spirit that is part of God with us, dwelling with us, inside us, in our hearts. That's what it means when it's talking about Emmanuel, God with us, that we have Him still. In the 15th chapter, it talks about, you know, abiding. You know, he calls himself a vine and abiding in Him. And when we abide in Christ, He abides in us. That Holy Spirit that comes to us in our heart, that changes us. You know, it's like with Mary, you know, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost touched her, and something grew within her. It became a baby that we celebrate today. But it's no different than the Holy Ghost touching us and His Spirit dwelling in our hearts and growing. It's the same concept of that Holy Ghost touching us. God with us. You know, in the Book of Mormon, when we get have our sacrament service. You know, next Sunday will be your sacrament service. Part of that prayer is that at the end, it says, I'm reading it from when Christ was doing it in the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi. He says, you know, doing these things in remembrance. And then at the end he says, and if you do always remember me, you shall have my Spirit to be with you. God with us. It goes over and over and over throughout Scripture about God never leaving us. But every time we hear the word Emmanuel, we should be thinking, God with us, that He is with us. You know, I know that in this life, our trials. And many of us are going through trials. Physical trials, spiritual trials, emotional trials. Storms of life, if you will. Sickness, pain, loneliness is common this time of year. We get weary. We're human. We get weary and we get tired. But what I want you to remember is what we celebrate today is God with us. That this little baby that came into the world was for a purpose. And so He's with us. He took upon our human nature, our feelings, our emotions, to know how to care for us. Whatever the storms we're going through, God is with us. But He wants to be with us as a king to rule our hearts and to rule our lives, because He has so many great blessings He wants to bestow upon us. He has come to dwell with us. He's come to reside in us. You know, you think about it, God didn't send an angel to do this. I think about, you know, angels, you know, and they're different creation. They live in a place that we desire to be, the presence of God. And when we think about heaven, we think about a place that there's no more pain, there's no more sadness, there's no more weariness. And we have, you know, angels are created and live in that. It makes me think that to them, pain is a word. If you don't live in a world that has, or in an existence that knows what pain is, how do you know what it is? It's a concept you can't know until you experience it. And that's why God didn't send an angel. He sent His Son to experience life and to feel the pain and the agony. And God didn't forsake him, and he doesn't forsake us. Wherever we are, he is with us. This is God's promise to us today. Emmanuel, God with us. It means you can never be alone. Whenever you need it, God is with us. And he promised us that Holy Spirit to dwell with us, dwell in our heart. You know, I'm going to read some more out of the book of Seuss. I think it's still chapter 1. I'm not sure what verse. But he says he hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. The Grinch didn't stop Christmas. Herod didn't stop Christmas. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And then what happened? And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. You know, that's what I hope for us. We spend today celebrating the birth of Christ. My hope is that we're not afraid to make Jesus our King. That we don't act like Herod or the Grinch, but we truly make him our King. I hope that we remember that because of Christmas, that God is with us. In every place and every time and through every trial, God is with us. And my hope as well is that Holy Spirit would dwell within us and dwell in our heart, and that our heart could grow 3 sizes that day because of what the Lord is doing to us, changing us and making us more like Him, bringing us about in us His purposes. So I thank you for your time and a Merry Christmas.